T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at action247.com. 92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
All right, I'm here. My name is Gary Perry, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Ben Adol's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can. Obviously, the days are sometimes tough to get through. Yesterday in this city, being a pretty spectacular example of that. I'll get you caught up on the aftermath of the murder of young Dolph. We're going to do that here in a second. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon schedule for you. 4:20 in the next segment, I'll be joined by a Memphis radio icon, somebody who was one of the prominent radio personalities, DJs, in this market for more than two decades. He's now program director down in Atlanta. It's the great Devin Steele. Given the events of yesterday, I couldn't think of anybody better to talk to about this. Devin, of course, knew young Dolph and understands the hip-hop community better than most of us. He's been immersed in it for decades. So I couldn't think of anybody better to talk to about this awful situation. Devin Steele, nice enough to join me. He's going to be here in the next segment. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, the Grizzlies are back inside FedEx Forum tonight. Clippers are in town. Grizz listed as a one-point favorite, trying to get back above 500. Spend a few minutes on that around 4:44. Miami, the University of, is reportedly prepared to try to lure Lane Kiffin away from Oxford, Mississippi. Give you the reported details on that a little later on this hour. Interesting college basketball result last night. George Mason beat Maryland for the first time in program history. The Patriots' first-year coach, Kimmy English, the former Tennessee assistant with Memphis ties. He was the lead recruiter for the Vols on Kennedy Chandler, the five-star point guard from here in Memphis. I'll tell you about that just before 5 o'clock. And Antonio Brown reportedly obtained a fake COVID-19 vaccination card to avoid NFL protocols. That's according to his former live-in chef. As Jamel Hill just tweeted moments ago, that's the most Antonio Brown story ever. We'll laugh about that during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Coggins, just like always, then I'll eventually do dinner to go get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with the aftermath of yesterday's tragedy at Makita's Cookies near Airways and 240. That's where rapper Young Dolph was murdered in broad daylight. We now know that there were two shooters. One had an AK-47. That's what they tell me, at least. The other, a pistol. Both shooters were masked up and pretty well covered. Surveillance video recorded images of both of them, but I'm not sure how much you can tell, at least from the images that I've seen. I guess the hope is that surveillance, caught some other things. I know that Memphis police had put out a be on the lookout for a white Mercedes. Perhaps they got a tag, maybe not. Obviously, it's safe to assume that investigators are combing through everything to try to figure out exactly what happened yesterday, who was responsible for it. I saw an interview with one of the employees at Makita's Cookies. And it was on Action News 5, and she said that her father, who was one of the owners, reportedly held Dolph yesterday and tried to keep him conscious after he had been shot, presumably multiple times yesterday. But that family member told Action News 5 that Dolph lost, according to her father, that Dolph lost consciousness very quickly. He was, according to a witness, dead before the ambulance got to the scene. So there was apparently no real chance of survival. Around the world, all day yesterday, into the night, throughout today, you know, various hip-hop stars have paid tribute on social media. Everybody from Rick Ross to Chance the Rapper, Megan Thee Stallion, Offset, Quavo, Gucci Mane, Killer Mike. Key Glock, who was tight with Dolph, even related to Dolph, I believe, had posted a lot yesterday. But he has since deleted his Instagram and his Twitter for reasons that remain unclear. Meantime, Yo Gotti has stayed silent, and Moneybagg Yo has posted but made no mention of Dolph or this murder. Penny Hardaway, the Memphis basketball coach, did post a video on Instagram earlier today. You might remember Young Dolph performed at a Memphis Madness a couple of years ago. Penny spoke for about a minute. Here's how that sounded. You got all the time you need, Bennett.
Hang on a sec. This computer's not working.
We need to take it to Cooper Systems then.
Yep.
Perhaps we can swing it by Cooper Systems tomorrow morning. You know what? Forget it. It doesn't matter. Penny said the things you would assume somebody in his position would say, that his thoughts are with the family, that he's really shaken by this development, and that as a community, we need to be better. Exactly what better looks like or how you achieve it, I'm not real sure on that. But undeniably, we need to be better as a community one way or another. So the reaction from most has been condolences, or in Gotti and Bagg's case, silence. And then there's Soulja Boy, who was popping off on Twitter this morning. Some background, if you haven't been following this. Soulja Boy and Dolph had been beefing in recent weeks, and Soulja Boy even suggested on video that he had $100,000 on Dolph's head. He said that like last week. Now Dolph is dead. Now, who knows if there's a connection between those two things. But this morning on Twitter, the rapper Trouble criticized Soulja Boy for releasing a song after Dolph was murdered that seemed to suggest he had some role in it. And Soulja Boy replied with, quote, "You could be next," which is a wild thing to say on social media. He subsequently deleted that tweet, perhaps after a phone call from an attorney. The whole scene is just wild all the way around. It's hard to even keep track of all the rumors and speculation. I've been doing my best, though. But it remains difficult to try to keep track of the rumors and the speculation and what's real and what isn't, separate fact from fiction. So let's step away from that and instead, you know, in this segment, by focusing on something that is an absolute fact. And that's that Makita's Cookies, the location on Airways where Dolph was killed, is now boarded completely up and closed because of all of the damage from the gunfire. This is a black-owned family business. You know, this isn't some Starbucks with incredible corporate backing. This is a small family business in a black community created by black people. As a city, we have to take care of these places. They're special places, often places that break cycles of poverty. You know, Makita's Cookies clearly needs our help right now, the community's help right now. They shouldn't have to stay closed long or spend their own hard-earned money to repair a store or help repair a store that was only damaged because Dolph loved to give them business. Like, this is a great place owned and run by all accounts by great people who employ great people who need their jobs. But they're not working today, not in that store, because it was shot up by the two men who murdered young Dolph. So a GoFundMe has been established to help cover expenses and get them reopened as soon as possible. So if you're capable of helping and compelled to help, please go check it out. I tweeted a link this afternoon. I also put it on Facebook. It's not hard to find. Shouldn't be. So if you're compelled to help and you're capable of helping, please go find it. Again, what happened yesterday was senseless, tragic, awful, depressing. It's another stain on our city. But a locally owned family business shouldn't be ruined, or at least tangibly damaged, because of it. So if you can help them, please do. And when they reopen, try to drop by every so often if you get a chance. Devin Steele is a Memphis radio icon, man who worked at hip-hop stations in this market for more than two decades. He's going to help us better understand this whole situation next. Right after the break, you're listening to The Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Run. Here come the menaces to sobriety, like what? Super thuggers thumping on a cut.
Weighs a ton, hit the drum. Incredibly, during that opening segment, Memphis police tweeted that there has been another shooting on airways this afternoon. Looks like, I put it into Google Maps, it's maybe a half mile from where Young Dolph was murdered yesterday. The shooting victim is listed in non-critical condition, so that's good news, relatively speaking, but just numbing that another shooting would happen in basically the same area. My next guest is a radio icon, a man who spent more than two decades on the air in this market, helping turn hip-hop stations into some of the most listened-to stations in the city of Memphis. Given the events of the past couple of days, I couldn't think of anybody better to speak with this afternoon. He's now the program director at Hot 107.9 in Atlanta. I am, of course, talking about the great Devin Steele. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
Devin, first, brother, I appreciate your time, and I'm confident a lot of Memphians are going to be happy to hear your voice on in this market again. How have you been?
Yeah, man, it's been good, man. Just kind of a surreal-ass 24 hours and, you know, being in Atlanta and, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, I'm still back and forth between Memphis and Atlanta. Of course, my family is here, and my home will always be Memphis. As I'm connected to so many things there, you know, I just have so much passion for everything in the city still, and very much connected, even though my office is a block from Mercedes-Benz. And, these Patriots fans over here are ridiculous. Let's hope the Falcons show up tonight, so we'll see what happens with that. So, man, you know, it's just, like I said, you know, just a really surreal last 24 hours. That's just a kind of an ugly reminder of, you know, the reality of things. You know, I saw Dolph about a week and a half ago. He called me, and you know, he's the kind of guy that just never said no. So I didn't tell him no about a lot of things. He said, "Hey, man, can I come up and bring Key Glock and we talk about the tape?" And absolutely. And one of my products here is a syndicated show that's on 14 markets. My Night Guy's on in 14 markets. And, you know, it was all about him. And me and Dolph, we were talking about everything from cryptocurrency to investments to Tiger basketball to, you know, just really wanting to talk about music. It was just that kind of relationship, just a really a Memphis, just a really laid-back guy, man. It's just very surreal when I'm changing out imaging on my radio station to say rest in peace to a guy that I consider a friend and plugging in his records in Atlanta to play on the station. It's just very, very strange.
He was your friend. You've known him for a long time. For those of us who didn't know him personally, what kind of person and what kind of talent did we lose yesterday?
You know, I think one of the things that on the outside looking in, what people, if you read up, you know, one of the things that kind of adopted, you know, the paradigm, I mean, the paradigm for Memphis rap scene was, hey, man, everybody comes and signs a Memphis rapper to a major label deal. Dolph really kind of broke that, you know, changed the paradigm. You know, he signed with Empire, which is just like, he didn't need the machine behind him. He had the machine. You know, that's what these artists do these days. They don't need the major label deal to go in depth. They have the bandwidth. They just need the delivery platform. And that's kind of like what he did. And when people saw that he could do it coming from, you know, from Glenview, Castalia, Glass High Square, you know, the Hamilton area, you know, a lot of people were like, well, man, that's the epitome of a role model. The other thing is, like, Dolph is extremely selfless. You know, as I scroll through Instagram, you probably are amazed at all the different people that he touched, not just DJs and entertainment people, but you saw, you know, him at Jackson State a couple weeks ago and all these different, you know, entities and people that he touched and you know, through his music, obviously, and through his story. But he was probably one of the most selfless people in the entertainment business, and especially when it comes to hip-hop artists that I've ever met in my life. Like, he would never tell me no. If he said, hey, man, let's do $5,000 in toys, and I'd say, all right, man, that's cool. Well, you know, we can do 2,500, 300. No, he's like, no, let's just do 10,000, but we have to do it in South Memphis. So it's just, and everybody, and it's not just Memphis, it's these stories resonate in Cleveland and in Charlotte and Atlanta and all these different markets where he was, where he was embedded, where he had fans. And he kind of built that fan base from scratch. And I think a lot of people kind of recognize that and kind of saw that in him. So
I was on a plane yesterday about to land when the news first started to break. I saw it on social media. That's where most people first heard news that, you know, this tragedy was possibly a real thing. How did you hear about it first? What was your reaction?
You know, I was on a Teams call with about 15 other DJs in different markets, and they started, you know, copying and pasting the stuff from social. And I said, hey, you know, they immediately asked me, you know, like, what's going on? Is this true? You know, in the middle of the conversation, I said, you know, I don't want to, let's not jump to conclusions until a news media in Memphis makes it official. And my phone immediately started ringing. And, of course, being a guy who, you know, grew up, you know, went to Snowden and went to Central, and I had friends all through that area. You know, everybody knows where Makita's Cookies is. And, you know, man, bless them and their new location and being at Kroger stores. And I've always loved what they've done with their brand. But, you know, it's just that whole area is just, it's just weird. You know, I grew up in Midtown and over on Faxon. So it's just like, that's not, everybody's gone down airways to the airport. You really just don't realize, you know, life can change so quickly. So, you know, I wanted to believe it wasn't true. As we, you know, in the media business, hate to put anything out there until we get official confirmation. But it's just, you know, there are a lot of things that don't really line up with me. You know, Dolph was, you know, here a couple weeks ago. Like I said, he had three or four people with him. Time before that I saw him, he had 15 people with him. He would have a couple of people with him, and I hate, it's terrible. That's the normalcy, in that business. But at the same time, it's just, I don't know, man. He's probably a mile from his house where he grew up. Maybe he was extremely comfortable over there, and it's terrible that we have to, have to try to normalize that. But, just crazy stuff, man. And yesterday was a blur, man. My head's spun. I just went home and went to bed. Future had a big birthday party last night I was invited to, and I was like, man, you know what? I just don't want to be in a club hearing people play Dolph records. I just don't. I just want to go home,
Talking to Devin Steele, Memphis radio icon, now program director down in Atlanta. Devin, unfortunately, in the hip-hop community, this is not a rare thing. Most famously, there's Tupac, Biggie, but recently there's been King Von, Pop Smoke, Nipsey Hussle, Jimmy Wapo, X, all shot and killed, now Dolph. What is the explanation for this? This doesn't happen to athletes, actors, other forms of entertainers, even other musicians. Why does this keep happening to rich and successful hip-hop stars?
Well, I think you just kind of, hit the nail on the head. I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of it is generational poverty. I love Memphis to death. I mean, I have all kinds of friends that I've come up with, but the reality of the market is 30% of the market lives at or under the poverty level. Poverty breeds crime. Crime, breeds desperation. There's not a lot of people. There are a lot of people that are not happy with people's success. And like I said, you don't know where these things come from, and people will say, oh, but the message in the music. Yeah, I get that, but at the same time, it's deeper than that. There's deeper issues, and the availability of handguns and like I said, a lot of it is, not everybody is happy for your situation. And guys like Dolph and the Nipsey Hussles of the world, and the King Vons, like a lot of these guys, we're very comfortable being out and being in front of people. And unfortunately, you leave yourself overexposed in these kinds of situations. It's also hard, Gary, for me to wrap my head around this too, because, here's a guy like Dolph, and a lot of these guys that I know that I do consider friends, when I'm around them, I'm at the radio station or I'm at a restaurant or I'm somewhere, I'm not in the front seat of the car, and I'm definitely not, I'm not in other places that I probably, wouldn't need to be. But, we only see a small percentage. We only see one side of what's going on. You never know what's going on with these guys, and what's going on. And I'm not saying that, Dolph had a lot of demons, but you just never know what else was – going on,
Dolph and Gotti had a well-documented running feud with each other. There are a lot of people listening right now who probably don't know the details of that beef or understand it. For those people, can you explain what happened between Gotti and Dolph and why that never got resolved?
Man, I don't, Gotti is one of these guys that I consider a friend too, that, I've known Gotti since I was a teenager. And, he and I have a really deep friendship too. When I left my situation in Memphis, he was the first person they called me. And a super intelligent guy. There are a lot of things that I'm not privileged to know what happened behind the scenes. And it was kind of forever in Memphis radio and in Memphis hip hop radio. It's kind of been the elephant in the room because I'd go out of town and I'd go to BET or I'd go to LA for something and people would, man, what's going on? That's the first thing they want to say. And as a cheerleader for the city, it's kind of like something that we protect. We've always protected it. So there's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes, and I'm not really sure of all the details. I know it was extremely personal, whatever it is, and of course, but the last that I had heard when I really did ask, I thought the whole thing was just, it had been agreed to be deaded and nobody, and it was just the slate was wiped clean. Gotti lives in Miami and LA, and Dolph would live in Atlanta and LA, and they never really crossed paths nor we wanted to be in the same room with one another. And, my sources told me the things that kind of cooled out for a minute. I could be completely wrong. I don't live in that world, 24/7. And like I said, I'm not privy to some of those conversations that happened, but there was a long history. I just think that it kind of got to the point also where you have two guys who, are considerably, have self-made wealth, Gotti's in the circles of, Jay-Z and these guys at Roc Nation and all these other power players that do all these great things and helping out for justice reform with Meek Mill and people who are unjustly incarcerated. And you have Dolph who signed to a huge, you know, one of the biggest independent labels, Empire Records, and kind of built on his own on the West Coast and all these other things. And he had, has all these other investments and all these other artists. And, you know, he had built his own wealth too. So I think to me, I looked at it as, you know, both of them kind of growing and maturing out of the situation. That was the last that I had heard. Now, maybe then I'm wrong. I know a lot of people, you know, have been hurt. I know people have been incarcerated. And there's a lot of people that have been, you know, emotionally, not just physically hurt, you know, throughout that whole situation. So, like I said, I just, you know, I can't really speak on it because I don't really know all the details behind the scenes. So
I understand. I'm talking to Devin Steele, Memphis radio icon, now the program director at 107.9 down in Atlanta. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here, but about a week ago, Soulja Boy, on video, seemed to imply he had $100,000 on Dolph's head. Now, he's always saying wild stuff, but now Dolph is dead. What, if anything, are people in the hip-hop community making of that?
Well, you know, Soulja Boy is one of these guys, too, who today said something about an artist in Atlanta, Trouble.
Right.
His name is Trouble, who was a, you know, another one of these guys where immediately people are like, look, man, you definitely don't want to bark up that tree. So, you know, Soulja Boy has a reputation of, you know, saying a lot on social media. Like I said, I don't, you know, I know people that are close to him, but it does not, in those kinds of situations, it does not look good. And I would love, and I hope justice is served, firstly, because, you know, my heart as a father and as a husband, like, you know, I'm extremely, you know, upset of, you know, when these things happen and, you know, and now you have a mother and you have kids. And, you know, it's just, I think social media has totally ruined a lot of things, and this is one of those situations where I'm sure it's part of the investigation. A lot of people are having to answer a lot of questions because, hey, man, you know, you run your mouth, you're going to have to, you know, answer to phone calls when they come and find out what's going on. So it did not look good when he said that. But, you know, like I said, I don't know, man. It could be him just running his mouth. I hope that's all it is. I really do. But, you know, it's just, you know, I saw what Penny said today about, you know, we have to do better. It's just, man, it just starts with more than we have to do better, man. It starts at the bottom line, and it starts at in education and trying to, you know, kill the poverty in Memphis and providing and trying to help out as much as possible, you know, so we can change these things and change the cycle. And it's all about a cycle, man. So
on that note, because, like, it's very easy in these moments to say we need to do better, but I'm always, you know, trying to figure out what does that look like? How does that happen? I ask this from a sincere place. What can people do who live where I live to try to help the places that need this help so that as a city we can rid ourselves of some of these really troublesome things?
You know, I know exactly where you're coming from. Like, I see both sides of it, too. Somebody, you know, said, explain to me, you know, why people are treating this the way they are when the message in the music is what it is. And, you have to explain to people also. It's very easy to turn your nose up. And, like I said, I'm a huge advocate of Memphis, as well as you are, too. I've seen, you know, how you clap back at people, even on social media, when people talk about our city. And it's, you know, Memphis is a city of a lot of passionate people. And I give you a good, and I'll bring it back full circle. It's almost like when you go somewhere and somebody goes, hey, man, where do you go to high school? And you tell them, that's the point of reference where people start a conversation with you. Where do you go to high school? Oh, I went to Central. Oh, you know so-and-so, so-and-so. You played for Coach K. When were you at Central? Oh, we beat Darrell Williams when they were undefeated, and he was at Westwood homecoming, you know, like. So people use high school in Memphis as a point of reference and a point of geography. So a lot of that, when you look at that, you think of that as almost like a place on the number line that's very low down. It's almost like people try to figure out where they're going to go in a conversation when you see somebody at a dinner party, and they go, "And what are you doing? What's your wife doing? Where do you live?" You know, and it's almost like you know where this conversation is going to go and people how they want to treat you. So to those people that ask those questions, what you have to do is you have to explain to them is like you have to put people who are the gatekeepers and the check cutters and the check writers and the people that control the budget to seriously find, you know, some kind of inroads in these different communities in Memphis that really, truly need help. I can remember one summer doing midnight basketball at the MAM in South Memphis, and I had a couple Memphis players come by, and I was just DJing out there, and kids were asking me for tickets. And I was almost – it wasn't about basketball to these kids in South Memphis. The tickets – where they eat dinner. Like, there are kids in Memphis that don't know during the summertime where they're going to eat lunch because school is not going on. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, my definition of being hungry and not knowing where your next meal is coming is something totally different. I cannot fathom, you know, not knowing where my next meal was going to come from. So you have to, we have to start with a lot of these different businesses because everybody suffers. There's no skilled workers. There's no pool of workforce, you know, and everybody starts to suffer when we start losing business and businesses are moving because of the level of crime. But people have to create inroads with these different, you know, these gatekeepers have to create inroads with specific people in the city and different entities to make sure they're pumping money and resources back in to make sure kids are getting meals and getting education and, you know, learning a certain skills and learning certain trades and let them know that it's okay, man. It's all right to go be a welder. It's all right to make $80,000 a year owning a plumbing company. It's okay to build houses and refurb houses. You know, it's not all about, you know, being, you know, an athlete. There are other things besides being a producer, being a rapper. That's great if it comes along, but I think that's really where it starts. And it's not something that happens in a day. Not something that happens in a week. It doesn't happen in a year. It takes 10, 12 years to change the culture and change these things. And it has, we have to make these programs not just readily available, but you have to let people know if it's picking them up and taking them and dropping them off. And look, you know, here's a class. If you do this for 2 years, you can make a living for yourself where you don't have to do dumb things, you know what I mean, to try to generate revenue or pay bills. So, you know, it's a bigger issue. And a lot of it also is, you know, you go back and forth and you talk about, you know, not just the gatekeepers of a lot of these businesses, but a lot of it is about city leadership too. I have a lot of friends in city leadership, and there is a next, you know, wave of men and women in the city that do understand, you know, the cycle and don't just want to put a Band-Aid on it, but really make changes. So
that is the great Devin Still, Memphis radio icon, now program director at 107.9 in Atlanta. Brother, I appreciate your time. We miss you here. I know you keep close touch and you're back and forth a lot, and I look forward to seeing you at some point in the future.
Absolutely. I'll be at, if I don't make it to the game, I'm trying to go to the Barclays game next week. If not, I'll be at the game at Athens Tiger Down, about an hour from Atlanta. So I'm taking I bought tickets for a whole cheering section to represent because they've never seen Tiger basketball, and I told them it's something special this year, man. So. Man, I appreciate you guys, and I love what you guys are doing, and man, I hope to see you soon. Thanks.
All right, brother. All right, that's Devin Still, a man who was a prominent radio voice in this market for more than two decades. Again, now program director at 107.9. I really enjoyed that because I think, you know, talking to people who knew Dolph on a personal level, like I met him. I don't know him, but Devin was a friend. Was with him just a week and a half ago, he said. Talking to people who knew him, I think can be beneficial, and talking to people who better understand the hip hop community and why things like this keep happening in ways that they just do not happen in other aspects of the music business. I knew he would be enlightening. I really enjoyed that conversation. Appreciate Devin still being here. When we come back, University of Miami is reportedly interested in trying to lure Lane Kiffin away from Ole Miss. We'll get into that story next. You're listening to Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Okay, now they got me wanna rap again. Heal the wound and then you stab me in my back again. You the type to play the joke and try to hide your hand. Not the type to come around and try to play your friend. You the type to cut the grass and snake your bestest man. I'm the type to close the deal and cut my then. See me in person, I look like a ghost. See me in person, I look like a ghost. Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat?
Goat body.
All you rap sound like me. Can't tell who is who. You got no real identity. Can't tell you from you. Price went up.
Yeah.
Angel investor.
Yeah.
Price went up. Angel
okay,
investor.
Okay.
I'm not okay.
Not okay.
Think you're good. It's not okay.
Lordy,
okay. Okay.
not okay.
But not okay.
Think you're good, get out the way.
No trust any and any man. Free them and my play along. Watch how them a sing my song. Suddenly them turn a fan. EM with precision. Fit number one position. Write the plan, write my wrong. And look now I'm the boss in charge. Used to talk down for me, no me on top.
Let's really appreciate Devin Steele join me. Long time prominent voice in this market. Another long time prominent voice in the market, Jeff Calkins. He gonna join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories at 444. Brought to you by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Covering your smile. Four notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 444. Story number one.
Andy Slater, a radio host in South Florida, tweeted the following earlier today. Lane Kiffin would leave Ole Miss for the University of Miami if the Hurricanes head coaching job were to open. Multiple sources close to Lane Kiffin have told him. So I got one question for you, Big Bet Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
Do you or do you not trust Andy Slater from, let me check this, Fox Sports 640 AM South Florida?
With all due respect to Fox Sports 680 AM in South Florida, I'd say, you know, I'm not familiar with Andy, so I'm going to say I don't trust it. But, you know, who knows? Maybe he's got reputable sources.
Do you realize that Fox Sports 640 is not only the home of the Florida Panthers and the FAU football program, but also the New York Yankees?
Wait. Okay. No, you know what, though? There's a lot of Yankees fans in
Oh, yeah.
Florida.
You know why? Because
they all move there. Yeah.
Yeah, they're a bunch of New Yorkers with a lot of money, and they move to Florida.
Yeah, and, and nobody there cares about the Rays. So that's,
when the Marlins or Rays have games against the Yankees, it's all Yankees
fans.
Mets too. Not to the same extent, but yeah. Mets fans, there's a lot of Mets fans at Marlins
games.
That's
game. What I meant. I meant the Marlins. Man,
there's a lot.
Franchise.
No, but it's true in Tampa as well, because there's a lot of former New Yorkers who live down there. So you say you don't trust Andy Slater. Do you trust Barrett Sally?
Yeah, I trust him a little bit more.
He, of course, is my colleague at CBS Sports. He tweeted, Lane Kiffin isn't going to leave Ole Miss for Miami. He completely contradicted Andy Slater. We have a media war between Andy Slater and Barrett Sally.
Well, here's the thing is how much – I get it. The U, like there's a lot of history there, right? But, like, how much better is Miami of a job right now than Ole Miss?
I'm not sure it is.
I don't think it is.
Now, history, sure. The U was a thing.
Absolutely.
But – I can't overemphasize the word was a thing.
Yeah, Miami's been garbage.
They play at a stadium off campus, can't draw to it. Now, maybe if Lane Kiffin were to go there and high-octane offense and he's recruiting well and they're good, the U is a reality again. But I'm not sure of that. Whereas right now, you know, you can fill up Vaught Hemingway down in Oxford pretty good. This seems a lot like leave well enough alone. You are loved in Oxford. You've got it operating at a high level in Oxford. The college football community in general seems to love you in Oxford. Just stay in Oxford.
Yeah, and I think, too, like Miami, there's probably expectations out of touch
and tied too much to the past.
Yeah, like if he comes in there and has two bad seasons in a row trying to get that thing going again, like who's to say they don't turn on him?
Well, they definitely would. The issue with that Miami program is the same issue that I think Indiana basketball coaches run into, Nebraska football coaches might run into. Like, success at Ole Miss and success at Miami are two very different things. At Ole Miss, I don't want to speak for the fan base, but I think they just want to be good and beat Mississippi State and compete for a possible, you know, trip to an SEC title game just every once in a while. And I don't mean get there. I mean just, like, compete for it every once in a while. Like, find yourself ranked in the top 15 every once in a while. Knock off Alabama or LSU every once in a while. That's what success looks like at Ole Miss, I think. You know what success at Miami looks like? The U. They want to be the U again.
They want to be the U, yep.
I don't know if you can ever be the U again. Do you think you can ever be the U again?
I mean, maybe, but I just the landscape of college football has changed so much. Like, I don't know. It would take time there, I feel like.
Here's what I would say. Here's where I'll bottom line it. As I've stated many times, I don't tell people what to do with their careers. You know, what if Lane Kiffin is offered this job if it opens, and he's just like, listen, I want to live in South Florida. I like the water. I like the weather. You know, like that is where I want to make my home. Well, who am I to say anything that runs counter to that? I used to, when I was younger, think that I knew what everybody ought to do all the time. This coach should do this. This coach should take that job. This coach should turn that job down. This player should turn pro. This player should come back to school. And if they didn't do exactly what I thought they should do, I thought they were crazy or dumb or some combination of the two. As I grew older and I started making career choices that weren't always tied to money or market size or any number of other things, one of the things that I recognized is that people are motivated by different things. There are a lot of people who, if they were in my position, had my career, and was presented with the opportunities to leave Memphis, like I've been presented with opportunities to leave Memphis, they would have left Memphis. But it never made sense, at least it has never made sense so far, for me to leave for a variety of reasons that we don't have to go into. This is the, all things considered, this is what's best for me. But it wouldn't be what's best for somebody else. And so I'm now able to properly understand that about other people's careers and their choices. So if Lane Kiffin is motivated by other things that might make Miami more attractive than it would seem to me, then he should be the next Miami coach if that's what he wants to be and he's offered the job. But all that said, take it, set it over here. What I think I would do is I'd let stuff like this sit there. I'd try to close out this season with two more wins, and I would try to make Ole Miss pay a lot of money to keep you right where you want to be anyway. I would try to use Miami and any other job as leverage to just keep the job I already have and that I really like, but get paid more money to do it. And as always, we'll see. You know, who knows if one of these big jobs comes flying his direction. Bigger job than Miami. But if I were betting today, I would bet that Lane Kiffin will be the coach at Ole Miss next season. He'll just be making more money while he's doing it.
Story number two.
Grizzlies back in FedEx Forum tonight. Clippers are in town. Grizz listed as a 1-point favorite over the 9-5 Clippers, who are being led by Paul George, of course. But do you know who the third leading scorer for the L.A. Clippers is?
Reggie Jackson.
Reggie Jackson would be the second leading scorer for the L.A. Clippers. The third leading scorer is former Grizzly Eric Bledsoe.
How about that?
You know, they just let him go there. And I understand why they did it. But I also understood, like, Eric Bledsoe would make your team better. I mean, he might mess your chemistry up. I can't speak to that. But just in terms of basketball players, basketball talent, Eric Bledsoe could have theoretically been a productive member of the Grizzlies, but they just didn't want any part of that. So now he's in a Clippers uniform coming to FedEx Forum to seek revenge on our NBA franchise that discarded him with so little interest.
A little nervous. A little nervous.
You're nervous about a November NBA game?
No, about him exacting his revenge on the Grizzlies.
You're nervous that Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah, he's had some nice games against the Grizzlies in the past.
He's had a nice career.
Yeah, he has.
You know, he was a part of that Kentucky team with John Wall. That was the backcourt, John Wall, Eric Bledsoe. If you remember, Memphis was in there pretty good with him under recently hired coach Josh Pastner. And then at the end, he flipped to Kentucky. I don't know if flip's the right word, but he certainly enrolled, committed to, and then subsequently enrolled at Kentucky. He wasn't some five-star recruit supposed to be one-and-done player. That is not how he was thought of. And I remember there was some thought back then. I couldn't speak to whether this was true or not. I just know it was something that people said back then, that John Calipari didn't even really want him because he already had John Wall.
Mm-hmm.
that he just didn't want Memphis to get him.
I remember.
That's what people thought.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was true, but that's what people thought. But regardless of whether John wanted him or not, what his motivations were, once he got him, it was pretty clear he's really good.
Yep.
And was going to be a one-and-done, you know, first-round draft pick. And that was in 2010. Here we now, you know, heading toward 2022, and he is still averaging double figures in points, you know, in the NBA after signing, you know, one, you know, decently sized slash big contract after another. So Eric Bledsoe, who was a member of the Grizzlies ever so briefly this offseason, he'll be inside FedEx Forum tonight. Again, tips at 7 o'clock. Eric Hasseltine, I have a call right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Story number 3.
Neat little college basketball story from last night. George Mason went to Maryland and won 71-66. It's the first time ever for George Mason to beat Maryland. These are two programs in the general area of each other. I wouldn't call them regional rivals because one of them's a high major top shelf program and the other is a mid-major or at least something bordering on a mid-major, sort of a middle of the pack or even bottom of the pack, you know, Atlantic 10 program. But they have both had, you know, success in recent years. Maryland in my lifetime won a national championship. George Mason went to the Final Four famously with Jim Larrañaga. And they went into Maryland last night and beat them. 71-66, first time ever for George Mason to get a win over Maryland. And it happened on Maryland's campus. What makes it interesting is that the head coach at Maryland right now, I mean at George Mason right now, is Kimmy English. He's 33 years old. 33-year-old head coach at George Mason. Might remember he played at Missouri on that Missouri team that got a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. Subsequently, played in the NBA for a little while. And he was on the Tennessee staff last year that secured a commitment from 5-star point guard Kennedy Chandler. In fact, I wouldn't want to take any credit away from Rick Barnes, but you know, I think it's understood in recruiting circles that that Kim English, you know, played a role in that recruitment. You know, he's a younger guy who can probably connect with younger people a little better. And so he has some history in Memphis because he recruited the best player to come out of Memphis at least, you know, last year. And you could argue in recent years, especially given the way Kennedy, his college career is off to a start. I don't know if you noticed or saw, but you know, then through the first week of the season, your SEC Freshman of the Week, it was Kennedy Chandler, who, of course, starred here at Briarcrest Christian. So I've known Kimmy since he was a player at Missouri. And I was always really impressed by him and knew he was headed for something great because he did something when we were at a game at Missouri that I have literally never seen another basketball player do. Never. Think of all the media rooms I've been in and all the basketball games I've been to. I have never seen another college player do what Kimmy English did when he was a student athlete at Missouri. It was a big game at Missouri. Who they were playing escapes me. But it was a big game because there was lots of national media there. Like I was there, Pat Forty was there, you know, maybe Jeff Goodman was there, maybe Dane O'Neill was there. There was just a lot of us there. So it had to be a big game. Otherwise, we're not just all at Missouri randomly.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.